Welcome to Anchor Point, where we believe that the next 30 minutes could change your life forever. So join us to consider the greatest message ever heard, the good news of the gospel, as well as sound scriptural teaching for believers, all based on the Word of God, the anchor for our souls. You know, the Lord is good. He really is. The misrepresentation of skeptics and unbelievers who paint God as an unfeeling dictator who wants to spoil our fun can be no farther from the truth. In fact, Titus chapter 3, verse 3 reminds the new Christians how, in spite of their former lives of disobedience, lust, hatefulness, and wickedness, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus our Savior. Is there any hint of a cruel and malicious dictator in that statement? Of course not. The verse highlights the kindness and love of God to sinners, transforming their lives through His mercy and abundant grace. Well, today's message is all about the kindness and love of God toward us, and it's a message that we hope will remove any of your hard thoughts about God. His countless blessings on every level are something we should thank Him for every day, not the least of which is the tremendous spiritual blessing of salvation. We know that you will enjoy the message we have for you today.
Let's turn again to our Bibles this evening, and I'd like to read with you, please, in the little book of Titus, towards the end of the New Testament. Titus chapter 3, "For we ourselves also were sometimes, or were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Christ Jesus, our Savior." Sometimes you have to be cruel to be kind. Really? Whoever coined that phrase knows nothing about the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man. Whoever said you need to be cruel to be kind has got no idea about the kindness and the love of God our Savior. If ever there was someone who had the right to apply the mantra, sometimes you've got to be cruel to be kind, it was Joseph. You remember how that Joseph's brothers, out of envy and jealousy, they hatched a plan to kill their brother. And then at last they relented and they said, "No, we'll not kill him. We'll throw him in a horrible pit and then we will sell him as a slave into a foreign country." It was a terrible thing that they did. And yet years later, that brother, whom they had determined to kill and then decided to sell as a slave, years later that brother becomes a very powerful man in the land of Egypt. And there came a day when his brother stood before him trembling because of what they'd done in the past. And the Bible tells us that all those years later, Joseph shed tears for their turmoil as he witnessed the fear with which they had to face the specter of their own past. And Joseph is just a faint portrait of our God, who in all His ways is slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. God is never excessive. He's always even-handed. God's love is legendary and His kindness is extraordinary. I want to speak to you about these 10 simple but so precious words this evening: the kindness and love of God toward man. The kindness and love of God our Saviour toward man. You can see his kindness because it's appeared. You can see the kindness and the love of God our Saviour toward man in his provision. I want to speak to you just for a moment or two this evening about God's interest in you and me. God is interested. You know, God's not the kind of God who invents a clock, winds it up, and then just leaves it to run down and doesn't take any further interest as the clock winds down. That's not the way God is. God is interested in the detail of your life and of mine. Day by day, moment by moment, God is interested in you as an individual. I was thrilled today, you know, as I thought about God's interest in his creation. The psalmist said, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation." And then he adds a little Selah, which just means, think about that. Isn't that good? He daily loads us with benefits. You know, I often think, I don't know if you ever, maybe I'm a little bit crazy in the way that I think, but I often give thanks that the supreme ruler of the universe is not called Lucifer. Could you imagine what this world would be like if Satan was the supreme ruler of it? Could you imagine the cruelty? Could you imagine the vice? Could you imagine the unhappiness? Could you imagine the fear and the anxiety? Could you imagine all the turmoil and the bitterness if Satan was the one that was in control? And then I thank God that he is the one who is God our Savior. Because I look in this beautiful creation, although it's spoiled by sin, I look around us and I think about the wonder that God made us with an ability to appreciate color, to savor flavors and aroma, to be able to enjoy texture, to be able to enjoy music. God created this world and you and I with the ability to communicate, to navigate, even to anticipate. You know, Christmas morning's wonderful for a youngster, isn't it? You love the joy of Christmas morning and you tear the ribbons off and you open up all those presents. And what a wonderful thing it is just on Christmas morning to be able to enjoy that present moment. It's a present moment for a couple of reasons, isn't it? But you know, one of the wonderful things about Christmas is that youngsters are able to anticipate Christmas for days and weeks and maybe even months before it comes. God has made us with an ability to enjoy things in anticipation and even retrospectively. We can look back and we have happy memories. Wasn't God good that he made us with the ability to enjoy things in that way? He made us with the ability to experience beauty and love and wonder. Have you ever stood on a starry night and you just look up into the glory of the open heavens and you feel so small, and yet God has made us in such a way that even though we feel so small, our hearts are at the same time so big because we're full of wonder. God is a kind God. He made us with the capacity to appreciate such wonderful things. And he takes an interest in us day by day, because day by day he provides us what we need for our daily consumption. He provides us everything that you and I require. He's a good God. He daily loads us with benefits. No wonder the psalmist said, and actually I came to Titus chapter 3 today in my meditation via Psalm 107, because four times over in Psalm 107, the psalmist says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And I said, praise God for his goodness and for all his wonderful works. Isn't God so badly maligned and misrepresented in this world? We can see the kindness of God in his interest, in his provision for you and me. Psalm 107 and so many other passages of Scripture would tell us that we can see the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men, not only in his interest in us, but in his indescribable lenience. his patience. Consider your nature and mine. Titus 3 tells us that we're foolish. Oh, we're so foolish. At times, our own folly gets us into such a mess. We are foolish. We're disobedient. We're deceived and deceivers. Paul says we serve lust and pleasure. That's what drives us. We live in malice and envy, and we're hateful and hating one another. And I'm sure that if you honestly look within your own heart, you with me will have to agree that that is actually a fairly good characterization of the average human being. And the Bible says there is no difference for all have sinned. But by contrast, consider God's nature and God's character, his kindness, his goodness, his benevolence, his usefulness. Everything that God does is good and helpful and intended to be beneficial to us. God is not capricious. That is, he doesn't do things just in an arbitrary way to harm or hurt us. Everything that God does is intended to bless us. Think about his love. Think about God's mercy. It's only the mercy of God that's keeping you out of the very fires of hell right now. It's God's mercy and his long-suffering that has you in a place like this and not already suffering eternally because of your own folly and sin and disobedience. Think about God's generosity. Paul describes it for us here in verse number 6. He says that he shed upon us abundantly through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, his kindness and his love. The idea is he poured it out richly. God doesn't do kindness by half measures. He's generous. He's abundant in mercy and in grace. It's been my burden, it's been my exercise to try and communicate to you, albeit with some difficulty and with a lot of limitation, something of the bigness, the largeness, the greatness of the heart of our God. We see something of the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men in his intervention in men's lives. We could call it his providence, the way he intervenes, the way he deals in the circumstances of our lives. And Psalm 107 gives us a range of circumstances. Maybe one of these you will recognize as having been a circumstance in your life. The psalmist says, sometimes God allows solitude. Sometimes he allows emptiness and loneliness into our lives so that weary wanderers will appreciate what it is to be perfectly satisfied. God doesn't want you to continue in a weary, waste wilderness thinking that you're satisfied when in fact you're still empty. He wants you to come and be perfectly satisfied in him. Sometimes he allows servitude. Sometimes he allows bondage into our lives so that captive rebels might experience perfect freedom. I wonder, am I speaking to a captive? I wonder, am I speaking to someone who some time ago turned their back upon parental restraint, turned their back upon the restraints that the Word of God would place upon you for your own well-being and for your own blessing, perhaps turned their back against God and ventured out thinking they were going out into a life of liberty, but discovered that their life of sin has brought them into desperate bondage, desperate captivity. And some of you who enjoy your sin, I challenge you, just try and give it up, if you will. Those of you who think that you are sin's master, try and give it up, if you will. The Bible says that whoso committeth sin is the servant of sin. And sometimes God allows us to feel the weight of our captivity so that we might experience the glorious freedom, the glorious liberty, which only Christ can give. Sometimes, the psalmist says, God allows sickness so that erring fools might be lifted up and dignified. And how many people, young people and older people, and their own foolishness, their own folly has brought them down. Maybe made them physically ill. Or their own folly has made them emotionally and psychologically ill. Or perhaps their own folly has made them spiritually very, very sick indeed. Sometimes, says the psalmist, God allows sickness so that fools might be elevated and that they might be dignified, so that they might enter into the perfect freedom and the perfect dignity that only Christ can give. And sometimes, says the psalmist in Psalm 107, sometimes God allows storms in life so that those who are proud and arrogant and self-sufficient might learn to trust in him and be thankful. Maybe in one of those descriptions you can see yourself, the loneliness of a pathway that has left you empty and devoid of happiness and joy. And God says, in my goodness and in my kindness, the longing soul can be filled and satisfied. And in my goodness and in my kindness, the captive can know release. And in my goodness and in my kindness, the sin-sick soul can be lifted up and dignified. And in my goodness and in my kindness, the soul that's on the storms of life can know the calm, the peace, and the thankfulness that only Christ can bring. The kindness of God, says the Apostle Paul, leads to repentance. The goodness that God shows to you in intervening in your pathway, if God has crossed your pathway and if circumstances have brought to you things that you never expected and life has taken a turn that you never really ever planned and you wonder what's going on, the Apostle Paul says, it's the goodness of God, and it's intended to bring you to your senses. It's intended to bring you to repentance. But I enjoyed this today. The goodness, the kindness, and the love of God, our Savior, toward man is seen in the incarnation, in the person of God's dear Son. Whenever the Apostle Paul says that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, he's not really just thinking about something that's abstract. He's not just thinking about the heart of God being shown in the circumstances of life that we've been thinking about, but he's thinking about the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the embodiment of the kindness and the love of God. Let's just think about the man Christ Jesus, just for a moment or two. Think about this. Think about a man who never spoke a hurtful word, never once. Think about a man who never thought a selfish thought, never once. Think about a man who never did an unkind deed, never once. Think about a man who helped the needy. Think about a man who always defended the vulnerable. Think about a man who always befriended the lonely. Think about a man who always comforted the sorrowful. And think about a man who finally died for his enemies upon a cross at Calvary. The Lord Jesus Christ is the embodiment of the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. There's peace and forgiveness in Christ because of his sacrifice upon the cross at Calvary. Look at Calvary and see inscribed upon Golgotha's tree these beautiful words, God is love. And we see the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men in his plan of redemption, in God's intention for you and me. Think about what the Apostle Paul brings before us in these verses that we've read together today. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is cleansing. In the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the grand possibility of being created new in him. And in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is an inheritance. What a joy that every believer in him is crowned together with Christ.
heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. I would just love this evening to be able to take what is in my heart and place it in yours. I feel so desperately the limitation of language. I feel so desperately the limitation of my own appreciation of all that God has done. But my prayer this evening would be that God would write upon your heart this evening the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man. A God who's ready to pardon. A God who's rich in mercy. A God who's abundant in grace. A God who invites you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we implore you one and all, learn to trust him. Have confidence in him. Venture your all upon him. He is for your good. He desires your blessing. He doesn't want to humiliate you. He doesn't want to bring you down. He wants to lift you up. Trust him. Remember what the Lord Jesus said. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. But is there someone here this evening and you doubt the kindness of God, and you doubt his love, and you doubt his good intentions toward you, and you wonder, if I were to come as a simple, sinful, lost soul and just cast my all upon him, would he receive me or would he let me die? The Lord Jesus Christ says, let me repeat it, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He loves you. He died for you upon the cross. Would you not trust him with your soul this evening? And then you could praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works, not just to the children of men, but you would learn the great joy of praising him for the wonderful work of salvation that you have experienced in your own life.
Yes, God uses circumstances in our lives to intervene for our good. Are you going through some difficult or confusing time in your life? Look for God's hand in it all. Maybe he is drawing you to himself. Are you carefree and enjoying life to the full today? The Bible says that the kindness of God leads to repentance. Yes, the Lord is good. His purpose is to bring you a blessing. Don't keep on hurrying through life with your back to God. Turn around and acknowledge his presence and his interest in you, not only on a temporal level. Take a look at the eternal dimension. He has provided a Savior for you as well. Accept his mercy and his goodness to sinners who deserve nothing but judgment. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Will you be one of them? We're glad you were able to join us at Anchor Point today. Anchor Point is sponsored by believers in Christ who are meeting at various gospel halls. Each of these Christian assemblies holds gospel services every Sunday, as well as other meetings such as regular prayer and Bible studies throughout the week. If you've been challenged by today's message and would like to know more about the truth of the gospel or of gathering unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ following New Testament principles, take a look at our Anchor Point website at anchorpointradio.com. There you will find more information as well as the location, programs, and meeting schedules for the gathering center nearest you. Our Anchor Point messages are also available for listening and download at anchorpointradio.com. My name is Glenn Todd. Thank you once again for listening, and we invite you to join us again next week at the same time for Anchor Point, where we believe that Christ alone is the anchor for the soul.